Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligence network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, remake the world. You know we have a job to do to remake the world. Thank you to our brother Wilmore Siddiqui for that music in the background. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. And good morning. Good Tuesday morning. The 16th of January, day after Martin Luther King's birthday, okay? Just like want you to know that the weather outside is frightful and everything is so delightful. And since there's no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. What's going on? That's what's going on in New York City. I'm looking out my window, and I mean, it looks good. The snow is falling. And I was talking to my daughter, who lives in Maryland, and so it looks like snow is over here on the East Coast. What's going on in your area of the country? And, well, this is the Lives of the Prophets, the Stories of the Prophets that I've been reading by Ibn Kathir. And we started from Prophet number one, which was, you know, more than a year ago. We started with Prophet Adam, Idris, Noah. We went to Adam, Idris, or Enoch, Noah, Prophet Hud, Prophet Salih, Ibrahim was the sixth prophet, prophet number six. Prophet number seven was Ishmael, which was his son, okay? Then the son of Abraham, or Ibrahim. Prophet number eight was Ishak, okay, or Isaac. Prophet number 9 is Yaqub or Jacob. Prophet 10, Lot, Shu'aib. Prophet Yusuf or Joseph. Prophet 11 was Job. Prophet, let me see, 11 is Shu'aib. 12 is Yusuf. 13 is Ayub or Job. Prophet 14 was Dhul Kafi, was a minor prophet, but you know he's on the list in Islam. Prophet 15 was Prophet Yunus or Jonah. Interesting story, Jonah was. Prophet 16 was Prophet Musa, okay, Moses and Harun. As a matter of fact, they list them two together, Prophet Musa and Harun or Aaron. Prophet 17 was Ezekiel. Prophet 18 was Elisha. Prophet 19 was Samuel. And Prophet 20 was Dawood or David. Prophet 21 is Solomon. 22 was Isaiah. Prophet number 23 is Jeremiah. Now, in some cases, the name is different. Okay, so some of the names like that we come down there, just like if I was supposed to say prophet number 21, Solomon, his name would also be Suleiman. Okay, so that would be another, in another language, Suleiman or Solomon. So I'm giving you basically the English ideas as far as these names are concerned, because these are names that we are very familiar with. Prophet 23 was Jeremiah. Prophet number 24 is Daniel. Prophet number 25 is Ezra. 26 would be Zechariah. Ah, I see something there. Prophet number 27 is Yahya or John. And then we're on prophet number 28, which is Jesus, also known as Esau. Okay, so we had been talking about Jesus last week, and Jesus was giving his message, giving his missions about what he was supposed to do. So we're going to start from, as a matter of fact, this is where we're going to start. Allah send disciples of feast. No, we're gonna start from here, but because Jesus was doing this thing, he was performing miracles and everything. This is a good place to start because this shows the humanity of Jesus, where. And I mentioned the humanity because there are rules that people follow, okay, and especially the rules of the book. The Torah has rules, okay? The Torah has rules. And Jesus went to the temple, and when he went to the temple, he noticed that in order to get into the temple, you had to go through these marketers. All these people that was in front of the temple were selling goods. And every time that every step that you took towards the temple, you know, you had to pay something. And so if you were going to the temple, you know, you had to buy something for sacrifice, et cetera, et cetera. And when he got in the temple, he saw that there were more priests. Well, not more priests, but there were more rabbis in the temple than there were worshipers. And so it's like, so logically to Jesus, it didn't make sense. I'm telling you what the story is saying. So he starts to denounce that. So I'm starting here where it says Jesus denounces materialism. Jesus was therefore in confrontation with the materialistic people. He told them to desist from hypocrisy, show and false praise. There was no need to hoard wealth in their life. They should not preoccupy themselves with the goods of this passing world. Rather, they should preoccupy themselves with the affairs of the coming world because it would be everlasting. Jesus told them that caring for this world is a sin, not fit for pious worshipers. The disbeliever care for it because they do not know a better way. As for the believers, they know that their sustenance is with Allah. So they trust him and scorn this world to that degree. So Jesus continued to invite people to worship the only Lord who is without partner, just as he had invited them to purify the heart and soul. So the Jewish priests tried to embarrass him. His teaching annoyed the priests, for every word of Jesus was a threat to them in their position, exposing their misdeeds. So they're going down the road, this road of materialism, I guess, and not caring. The human being, just as human beings, have a tendency to get off track. And the thing about Jesus, you know, he was clear in his thinking, you know, and he saw what was going on, and he told them, but rather than, and this is what I'm saying, but rather than go with it to come to, like when Adam and Eve in the garden, just give an example, realized that they were wrong, they said, yeah, you're right about that. You know, forgive us. And if you don't forgive me, then we will be lost. But rather than, you know, go with what Jesus was saying and open their eyes as far as they're concerned, I mean, because Jesus was telling them, like, look, man, you know, open your lying eyes. Your eyes are lying to you. So his teaching annoyed the priests, for every word of Jesus was a threat to them in their position, exposing their misdeeds. Now, the Roman occupiers had at first no intention of being involved in this religious discord of the Jews, because it was an internal affair. And they saw that this dispute would distract the Jews from the question of the occupation, right? So it was, the Romans saw it as a good thing. However, the priests started to plot against Jesus. The priests or the rabbis, they started to plot against Jesus. They wanted to embarrass him and to prove that he had come to destroy the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law provides that an adulteress be stoned to death. So they brought him a Jewish adulteress and asked Jesus, does not the law stipulate the stoning of this adulteress? Jesus answered, yes. They said, this woman is an adulteress. Jesus looked at the woman and then at the priest. He knew that they were more sinful than she. They agreed that she should be killed according to the Mosaic law. So now, they're sticking to the rule of the law. And so they condemned her according to the rule of the law. You see what I'm saying? Guess what they did? They agreed that she should be killed according to the rule, to Mosaic law, the writing. Oh, well, this is what the writing says, so this is what we have to do. And they understood that if he was going to apply Mosaic law, he would be destroying his own rules of forgiveness and mercy. Jesus understood their plan. He smiled and asserted, whoever among you is sinless can cast the first stone at her. His voice rose in the middle of the temple, making a new law on adultery. For the sinless to judge sin? Interesting. Let me read that again. His voice rose in the middle of the temple, making a new law on adultery for the sinless to judge sin. There was none eligible. No mortal can judge sin, only Allah the most merciful. As Jesus left the temple, the woman followed him. She took out a bottle of perfume from her garment, knelt before his feet and washed him with perfume and tears, and then dried his feet with her hair. Jesus turned to the woman and told her to stand up, adding, oh Lord, forgive her her sins. He let the priests understand that those who call people to Almighty Allah are not executioners. His call was based on mercy for the people, the aim of all divine calls. Wow. So Jesus brings the dead to life. Jesus continued to pray, so he started doing things. So I'm not going to read some of it, but I'm going to read what the Quran says. Remember when Allah will say on the day of resurrection, O Jesus, son of Mary, remember my favor to you and your mother when I supported you with Jibril so that you spoke to the people in the cradle in the maturity, and when I taught you writing, the power of understanding, the Torah and the gospel, and when you made out of clay, now this is important, and when you made out of clay, as it were, the figure of a bird, and by my permission. Now, I would say to you that when we talk about, and when you made out of clay, as it were, the figure of a bird, okay, so it's not necessarily saying that Jesus made a bird. I'm not saying that. But this is an example that he is giving, because clay is malleable, as Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad has told us, that clay is malleable. You can slip, you know, shape it how you want. And so it says, well, made out of it, the figure of a bird, by my permission. And you breathed into it, and it became a bird by my permission. And so there's a spirit. So you form the human being, and then I'm saying the human being, and then you breathe the gospel into him, and he becomes, you know, what he's supposed to be, a bird. He becomes who he's supposed to be, okay? A human, and then the human becomes who the human is supposed to be by Allah's permission. And he breathed into it, and he became a bird by my permission. And you healed those born blind and the leper, and by my permission, and when you brought forth the dead by my permission, and when I restrained the children of Israel from you, when they resolved to kill you, since you came unto them with clear proofs, and the disbelievers among them said, this is nothing but evident magic, which was some of the clear healings, these things that, you know, Jesus was doing. You know, they was like, oh, this is not the first prophet that they said that against. Right? They said that against Musa, too. They said it against Ibrahim. And so it's not like this is the first. They said that about Adam, you know. And when I, Allah, put in their hearts the disciples, when I put into their hearts disciples of Jesus to believe in me and my messenger, they said, we believe and bear witness that we are Muslims. Surah 5, verse 110 to 111. Okay. So, what winds up eventually happening is, and remember when Allah will say on the day of the resurrection, O Jesus, son of Mary, did you say unto men, worship me and my mother as two gods before Allah? Jesus will say, glory to you. It was not for me to say what I had no right to say. Isn't that a wonderful answer? Had I said such a thing, you would surely have known it. You would have known Allah. You know what is in my inner self, though I don't know what is in yours. Truly, you only are the all-knower of all that is hidden and unseen. Never did I say to them aught except what you, Allah, did command me to say. Worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I am a witness, and I was a witness over them while I dwelt among them. But when you took me up, you were the watcher over them, and you are a witness to all things. This is a great admonition and warning to the Christians of the whole world. If you punish them, they are your slaves. And if you forgive them, verily, only you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. Allah will say, this is the day on which the truthful will profit from their truth. Theirs are gardens under which rivers flow in paradise. They shall abide therein forever. Allah is pleased with them, and they with him. This is the great success. To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth and all that is therein, and he is able to do all things. Surah 5, verse 116 to 120. So we get to a point where the Jews plot to kill Jesus. Jesus went on his mission until vice knew that its throne was threatening to fall. So the forces of evil accused him of magic, infringement of the Mosaic law, allegiance with Shaitan, and when they saw that the poor people started to follow him, they began to scheme against him. Why? And this is me saying that. So The Jewish foot people wouldn't listen to him. The elders of the temple wouldn't listen to him. The elders was telling, you know, their followers, you know, the Jewish followers, yo, don't listen to Jesus, yo, he's crazy, he's this, he's that, you know, he's doing magic, you know, he's not following the Mosaic law, you know, he's in allegiance with the devil. But then they saw that the poor people were following him. So they saw somebody was listening to him. And they began to scheme against him. Ain't want nobody following him. So the highest, the Sanhedrins, which is some special order within the Jews, the highest judicial and is ecclesiastical council of the Jews, began to meet to plot against Jesus. They had to come together and say, yo, what are we going to do about this guy? Their plan took a new turn. When the Jews failed to stop Jesus' call, they decided to kill him. Isn't that something? This guy's talking, doing miracles and all that. Man, we got to get rid of this guy, man. That's the only thing that we can do. We can't talk to him. We had already told our people not to follow him, but they got some other people following him. That's basically what it was. In other words, we don't want nobody following him. Nobody. So they planned to kill him. So the chief priests held secret meetings to agree on the best way of getting rid of Jesus. While they were in such a meeting, one of the 12 apostles of Jesus, Judas, went to them and asked, what will you give me if I deliver him to you? Judas bargained with them until they agreed to give him 30 pieces of silver. The plot was laid for the capture and murder of Jesus. So it must mean that, you know, they didn't know where Jesus was at, and, you know, because he was moving around. He was doing a lot of moving around. And for some reason, you know, Shaitan, you know, got into Judas, one of the people who said that they were followers of Jesus, and he saw a way where, you know, like he didn't like him. He wanted, you know, man, it's really something here. It is, you know, Judas, that whole thing about Judas. It's like, yo, he was, it says that he was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. He was one of the disciples. What happened to him? It's a question. But he saw that there was a benefit for him. And what he did is he sold him out. And you know, for 30 pieces of silver. They make a big deal about that in Christianity. So the plot was laid for the capture of Jesus. It was said that the high priest of the Jews tore his garment at the meeting, claiming that Jesus had denied Judaism. The tearing of cloth at the time was a sign of disgust. So, the priests had no authority to pass the death sentence at the time. So they convinced the Roman governor that Jesus was plotting against the security of the Roman Empire and urged him to take immediate action against him. The government ordered that Jesus be arrested. Of course, you know, like, you know, they were in cahoots with the governor. We're talking about the Roman governor. All right, who, you know, was over the land, okay, and who was collecting monies and everything from the Jewish people also. He had a relationship with the authorities of the Jewish church, and, you know, they would make agreements about, you know, things that the Jews wanted to do. And so they went to, you know, the heads of the Jews went to the Roman authorities and said, look, man, this guy is, you know, threatening your empire, and urged him to take immediate action against him. So, you know, some kind of way the governor ordered the arrest of Jesus. And so, you know, with that, that's what that whole thing about, you know, like, give unto Caesar who is Caesar's and give unto God who is God. That also that other thing that says that, oh, so you're the king? You're a king? trying to find something. He says he's the king. He's this, and it wasn't, he didn't say it, but the people had put that title on him. You know, just like, just give you some idea, you know, like people say that Miles Davis is the greatest musician of all times, the GOAT, the G-O-A-T, the greatest of all times, the greatest musician of all times. They say John Coltrane is the greatest of all times. You know, he's the best that ever played jazz. They say the things from Biggie Smalls is the best rapper that ever was. So people put titles on. And so they put a title on it. The people put a title on Jesus. He didn't put the title on himself. They put the title on him. The people put it on him. And so that was what the authorities used. They used that. Yeah, you know, he's supposed to be the king of the Jews. So according to the book of Matthew, Jesus was arrested and the council of the high priest passed the death sentence upon him. Then they began insulting him, spitting on his face and kicking him. It was a Roman custom for the condemned to be flogged before they were executed. So Pilate, who was the name of the governor, ordered that Jesus be flogged. The Mosaic law stipulates 40 lashes, but the Romans had no limits, and they were brutal lashes. After that, Jesus was handed to the soldiers for crucifixion. They took off his clothes and kept him. They put a crown of thorns on his head to mock him. According to custom, he carried his cross on his back to increase the suffering. Cruel, cruel, very cruel. So Jesus' crucifixion, this is the Bible version. Finally, they reached a place called Golgotha, meaning the place of skull, outside the walls of Jerusalem. Instead of giving him a cup of wine diluted with scent to help him lessen the pain of the cross, the soldiers gave Jesus a cup of vinegar diluted with gall. Then they crucified him as further mockery. Two thieves were with him, so as it was written in the Bible. But what does the Quran say about the crucifixion? The Quran says, "But by the faith of Islam came, but the faith of Islam came with views quite different from that extended Gospels with regards to both the ends of Jesus and his nature. The glorious Quran affirms that Allah the Exalted did not permit the people of Israel to kill Jesus or crucify him. What happened was that Allah saved him from his enemies and raised him to heaven. They never killed Jesus. They killed someone else." So that's what this says, okay? And Ibn Kathir puts that in. They never killed Jesus. They killed someone else. Allah the Almighty declared. And this is what the Quran says, and this man out of man and I hate. And because of their sayings in boasts, we killed Messiah Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. Who said that? Well, this is what the Jews said. And because of their saying in boast, we killed Messiah Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him, but the resemblance of Jesus was put on them, another man. You see, this is what Ibn Kathir says, okay? And they killed that man. This is what Ibn Kathir says. And those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but conjecture. For surely they killed him not, Jesus, son of Mary. But Allah raised him up with his body and soul unto himself, and he is in the heavens, and Allah is ever powerful. And there is none of the people of Scripture, Jews or Christians, but must believe in him. What I want to do at this point is, as a matter of fact, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at it from what the Quran says, because, not that one, this one. We're going to look at it from Surah 4, 150, Surah 4, okay. That's what we'll do. Surah 4, verse, I think it says, was it 154? Is it 154 that it says it? Let me see. Surah 4, verse, Surah 4, 157 through 159. That's what we're looking at. Surah 4, verses 154-159. Okay, so let's look at that in the alquran.com. And this is an interpretation. Let's see. And now over them, we warn them, do not break the Sabbath, et cetera, et cetera. And they rejected faith. Let's see. Okay. So just to let you know that 154 says, we raised the mount over them as a warning for breaking their confidence, saying, into the gate of Jerusalem with humility. We also warned, do not break the Sabbath, and took from them a firm covenant. They were condemned for breaking their covenant, rejecting Allah. We're talking about the Hebrews or the Jews, whichever one you want to call them, and they were condemned for breaking the covenant, rejecting Allah's signs, killing the prophets unjustly, and for saying, our hearts are unreceptive. It is Allah who has sealed their hearts for their disbelief, and they do not believe except for a few, that they rejected faith, that they uttered against Mary a grave false charge. So Surah 157 says, and boasting, and for boasting, and this is what the clear Quran says, and for boasting, we killed the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they neither killed him nor crucified him. It was only made to appear so. Even those who argue for this crucifixion are in doubt. They have no knowledge whatsoever, only making assumptions. They certainly did not kill him. So that's what the clear Quran says. Yusuf Ali's version says that they said, in boast, we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not, nor crucified him, but so it was made to appear to them. And those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture. Now, again, what it says, let me get rid of this part, what it says here, and because this is what it says in Ibn Kathir's, and because of their saying in boast, we killed Messiah Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not, nor crucified him, but the resemblance of Jesus would put over them another man. And in parentheses it says, and they killed that man. And those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but conjecture. Well, surely they killed him not, son of you, but Allah raised him up, okay? So this is where this comes from, that, well, you know, like it's heard. They hear, well, it was another man that was killed. But they don't know. And it doesn't make sense. You mean to tell me, and now this is William Green saying this, I'm saying this on the basis that, look, you mean to tell me that they brought forth before, you know, Pontius Pilate another man that wasn't Jesus, and he was talking to, so they was talking to another man. And so then Pontius Pilate and the Jews said, well, we're going to kill Jesus. And so that there was another man that was killed. They didn't know who they were killing. And when the Quran said, and they said in boast, we killed Jesus, we killed Jesus. You mean to tell me that there were eyes that were looking at the man being crucified and they couldn't see that it was somebody else and it wasn't Jesus? You telling me that's what the situation was? Come on, you got to do better than that. Anyway, we're going to get into this part right here, where what we're going to do is we're going to play a PSA about what's going on tonight.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Yep, tonight, on Tuesday, courtship and marriage right here on American Muslim 360. Now, this whole idea, okay, about Jesus. All right, so now look, I contend to you that what the Quran said is that they didn't kill Jesus, but it was made to appear, okay? So this is a situation that always bothered me personally. I was always bothered by this because it's like, here it is. This is your messenger of Allah. You gonna let these people just go ahead and kill Jesus? But what Allah did is it made it look like he was dead, and he wasn't. Yeah, he was knocked out. He had lost some blood, and it looked like he was dead. And when the Christian version says they tucked him in his side and he didn't move. So they said, well, when we stuck him in his side, you know, like, yo, he didn't move, so he was dead. Okay, so that was the proof that they had. Now, remember when this happened, okay, according to Christian scripture. This happened on a Friday, and that's why in Christian religion they have Good Friday. That's why they have Good Friday, okay? Because this was the day that Jesus was crucified and he came down off the cross. But it's important to understand that according to Jewish tradition, that the Jews have to be in the house before sundown. So they appealed. There was an appeal that was made for him to come down off the cross before sundown, because he was a Jew, that he can't be out after dawn, even though he was dead. So there was an appeal that was made to Pontius Pilate. This is, you know, and he allowed Jesus to come down off the cross and for them to take him. And they took Jesus and they put him in the tomb, okay, on Good Friday, all right? But he wasn't dead. They thought he was dead. But he wasn't dead. He lost blood. You know, they didn't do the thing, well, did his heart stop? No, they stuck him in his side to see, you know, if he was still alive. He didn't move. Yeah, okay, he's dead. But some days later, they find out he's not dead because they put him in the tomb. And you know, I mean, this is what they're saying as far as Christian, you know, thing is, you know, they had some Roman soldiers watching the tomb, and the next thing you know, the tomb is open and Jesus is not there. And even though it was being watched by the Roman soldiers. Now, Christians know, the Bible knows that Jesus didn't die on the cross. They know that he was resurrected. They know that he was resurrected because in the Bible, it says that he went to the disciples. And when he went to the disciples, they said, well, who are you? He said, you don't recognize me? You don't recognize me? So they know that he didn't die. In Christianity, they know that he didn't die on the cross. They know that. But that's the message that the Christian's religion is giving out to the people, that he died on the cross. I saw something that said, which is more precious, the blood, your blood or the blood of Jesus? And, of course, he's talking to black people. No, it's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is more precious. Which is more precious, the blood of your children or the blood of Jesus? Oh, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Yo, you don't read your Bible? You don't know the parts that says that he not only did he come, if he was in the tomb and, you know, he came up out the tomb, that means that he didn't die. That's what it means. He didn't die. But you're like, oh, he was resurrected. Okay, that's fine. He was resurrected. Because, you know, that still happens today, you know, where you think that people, you know, like their heart stops and all the rest of it, and they've got these things that they can, you know, push on your chest and then, you know, bring you back to life. So this, it's not like we don't understand that idea. At that time in history, they didn't have that kind of situation. But Allah made it appear that he was dead. But he was really alive. But they make this big thing like, he rose on the third day. Okay, he rose on the third day. Okay, fine, he rose. And so that's what the whole idea of Easter is. Easter is about the resurrection. But they don't go any further. They don't go any further than that. They don't tell you that he went and met with the disciples after that. They don't tell you that. The Bible says it, but the basic tradition, the basic story, they don't tell you that. Now, I have seen some videos that tell you about, you know, Jesus going to meet with the disciples after he comes out of the tomb. I've seen videos that have been made that say that's the way that happened. So when they say that Jesus, you know, was taken up to heaven, whole body and spirit was taken up to heaven, why would you believe that? Why do you believe that? Is there something else that it could mean? Well, let's look at the circumstance and situation that Jesus was in. Here it is. You know, he's on the cross. And you know, there's a famous saying in Christianity that says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All right? So, I mean, he's being crucified. He's being whipped, crucified. He got to carry his own cross. And, you know, nobody's doing anything for him. The disciples, this one is the followers. No, it wasn't me. I didn't follow him. So his disciples deny him. The Romans crucify him, so he don't have any. He can't trust the disciples. One of his disciples went. The Judas turned against him. The disciples denied him. He had a disciple that denied him three times. So he is like the Romans. You know, they were against him. So after he comes back to life, after Allah, you know, brings him back to life, and he comes out and he goes to the disciples. The disciples, you know, deny him. It's like, yo, these guys is afraid and scared too. They're scared for their life because I'm supposed to be dead among them. But he goes, but it says that he goes to them and tells them, propagate my word. And then he leaves. He's got to leave. He's not safe there. He don't want to stay there among the people. He stays there among the people, then his life is in danger. So he leaves. That's what I'm saying. He's not going to stay there. So because he left, nobody knew where he was going. He didn't tell anybody so that they could follow him. He just left. And then they come up with, yo, he was taken up to heaven. Body and spirit, he was taken up to heaven. This is what people do. They start making up stories. This is what people do. But if you look at the circumstance and situation that he was in, it's like, yo, I can't stay here. I can't stay here. So he had to leave. Anyway, so that's what I believe is a more logical idea of you know, basically of what happened. I mean, logically speaking. And then according to their tradition. Again, I tell you, that Good Friday has to do with the day that he was crucified. They had to take him down off the cross because he was a Jew. And according to Jewish tradition, you know, they had to take him down. They take him down and put him in the temple. But the priests, they boast, yeah, we killed him, Messiah Jesus. And they said, and this was in Surah 4, verse 157 through 159. That's what it says. Surah 157 says, and this is Yusuf Ali, that they said in boast, we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not. They killed him not because they thought he was dead. He appeared to be dead, but they crucified him not. But so it was a made to appear to them. You know, they didn't see him moving. They stuck him in his side, according to Christian tradition. They stuck him in his side. He didn't move, and so they took him down and gave him to, you know, the Romans took him down off the cross and gave him to, you know, his people, Mary and them, and gave him to them, and they took him and put him in the tomb. But see, Allah says, and they said in boast, we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not, nor crucified him. But it was so it was made to appear to them, and those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For surely, see, when Allah uses surely, that means that it's without a shadow of a doubt that they have. For of a surety they killed him not. So it still says with that, I'm satisfied with that. I feel satisfied with it because it says that Allah still had power over that. And this is what Surah 4, verse 158, the next verse says, nay, Allah raised him up unto himself, and Allah is exalted in power, wise. Okay, that's what. And there is none of the people of the book but must believe in him before his death. And on the day of judgment, he will be a witness against them. Okay? So that's what has happened as far as Jesus is concerned. Let's see what else that they say. Because we're getting ready to, and there is none of the people in the scripture but must believe in him. Almighty Allah also, and when Allah, O Jesus, I will take you to and raise you to myself and clear you of the forged statement that Allah is that Jesus is Allah's son, of those who disbelieve, and I will make those who follow him superior to those who disbelieve. So now here it is, again. So Jesus is saying, my Father, and so what winds up happening over a period of time, this is what happened with human beings. You know, well, he was the Son of God. And now they say, well, Jesus is God. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is three in one. And they come up with all these things. But this is what human beings do. Human beings do this. Even though in the Lord's Prayer it says, our Father, who art in heaven. But still, it's like, oh, yo, don't pay that no mind. Jesus is the Son. So it's still here today, brothers and sisters. And we can't be distracted. Okay? We can't. So we are very thankful for our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, for revealing the book to us. And we are very thankful to our Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, who has given us the opportunity and the ability to think. To think in the most logical way. And then we are very thankful to Allah, who has put his mercy on us and helped us to come to some kind of logical ideas, to understand the historicals, to peer through the falsehoods that have been put in whatever it is that we read. We're reading from Ibn Kathir, and you see that there are ways that the story is told, so you can't believe in it 100%. You have to question. We have to question the ideas of Christianity, the way that Christians, you know, they'll give it. Then we even have to question sometimes the interpretations from the Quran. You know, because the way that they're written, the way that it's written, they put stuff in there. And, I mean, how many people, I know that I'm not the first one to say to you, yeah, that it wasn't Jesus that was crucified, it was another person. I know that you've heard that before. Because that's somebody else's interpretation. Somebody else's translation. But if we were supposed to actually read the Arabic, it's not going to say that. It's not going to say that. So, and then it's the logical common sense of things. And then there's some things that, you know, like we're just not going to understand at the time. Some things we just not, as Muslims, we're just not going to understand anything. But something may be said that we may not understand. I'm going to open up some telephone lines because I got a couple of minutes left. 2-727-401, Martha Nolan Williams, As-salamu alaykum. Your microphone is open.
Alaykum as-salam, and praise be to Allah for your bringing that forth. I wanted to point out, too, you know, in one instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he was a word, both he and, speaking of Jesus, alayhi salam, was from his mother, both a sign. He was a word from his Lord. Well, and that qualifies or clarifies when we say that from Allah's will we come and to Allah's will we return. We've learned to say that. And so as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated in the revelation, Rafa'ah, that the word Rafa'ah means raised up, as our understanding goes, again, like you say, the interpretation, and the psychology of it all. Our soul wants to be purified by what we believe. And so we have to be willing to delve into that to understand, not just rest on what we've come to know, but qualify it for our own soul's sake and the relief of that which has hindered us. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that. That is very well said. We're going to go to 401-323. As-salamu alaykum. Your microphone is open.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island. I would also like to say, how can people in any religion, especially the Roman Catholic religion, give authority to a pope? A pope's going to make the authority over Allah, over God, and give people the authority to say it's okay, same-sex marriage. He's going to let the priest do same-sex marriage over what Allah said in all of the scriptures, that homosexuality, Sodom and Gomorrah, is an abomination. But he's going to go over Allah, God's head, and say it's okay. How can people follow someone like that when they can open their own books of scriptures and all the scriptures and see that Lot went in there to try to warn the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, and so he sent Gabriel in there to do whatever he did, and Lot's wife turned to stone, meaning that she was wanted to be ignorant, she wanted to stay deaf, dumb, and blind. And anyway, the whole thing is that, why do people keep following people in darkness and being deaf, dumb, and blind when they know the truth? Why do they want to stay arrogant, be disobedient? As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sister. That was very well said, Sister Angela. May Allah continue to bless you with the light of understanding. May Allah continue to bless us with the light of understanding. This is what people do. This is why, you know, Allah had to send messengers to people that, you know, we're living in this day and time. And, you know, they're telling us, don't believe your lying eyes. What you see is going over there in Israel to the Palestinians. No, it's not what it is. That's not what it is. Don't believe your lying eyes. No, don't believe your lying eyes that the monies that you are paying as far as your taxes, you know, and we're just taking that money and giving billions of dollars of your tax money over to the Israel, country of Israel. Don't believe your lying eyes. It's okay. that that's where the billions of dollars, the $14 billion will do better over there than it'll do over here to serving the people. Don't believe your lying eyes. That's just how people are, Sister Angela. And we are blessed if we can stay focused as far as on the psychological understandings that we have come to understand, especially as far as the historical ideas are concerned, as far as the prophets, the lives of the prophets, the stories of the prophets, the stories, and these stories that are talking about the lives of the prophets are talking about the stories that, the prophets that come from Quran, who come with the same message over and over and over again, to say that the human being continues to be deluded by the jinn, by shaitan, over and over and over again. So the most, what can we do about this situation? The best thing that we can do, brothers and sisters, is to follow the pillars that we have as far as our religion is concerned. Never stop the belief in the oneness of God. Know that Allah is the power over all things. That's what we say in our prayer. You know, all praise is due to Allah alone. Thee do we worship, thee do we worship, and thee do we seek for help. Show me the straight way. Each one of us, when we make our prayer, that's what we say. Show me the straight way. The way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, and not the way of those on whom your wrath is brought down, nor the way of those who go astray. That is our daily prayer. That's what we do. We follow that. If we do that, we believe in that oneness, we make that prayer, we go ahead and try to be as generous as we can to people, not be one who accumulates as far as materialism is concerned. Remember, that's the situation that these people at the temple of Jesus, that's where they were caught up at. Yo, we got to make that money. We got, and then Jesus was like, yo, what y'all doing? Yo, this is a materialistic world. Use that material to help the people. Use that material. You go with, well, the law says, well, we're going to go according to the law. Look, be charitable, okay? That's what it says. And then it says, you know, to, you know, fast. That's the ritual that we do, fasting during the month of Ramadan. And, okay, so that's one of the best things that we can do, brothers and sisters. And charity is work. That's what it is. It's that after you make your prayer, get up and do some work. Get up and do some work, not only for yourself, for your family, but also for your community. Stay involved as far as our community is concerned. Our community, and again, I mentioned to you, the community-wide Shura Conference, CWSC, that's what it's all about. We have a community-wide conference or organization, which goes from New York to California, from Texas to or New Orleans to Chicago, Detroit, okay, all around the country. We have a community of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, and we agree on particular things. We agree to follow on our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and also the ideas that were left to us by our historical ideas that happened as far as expressed by our Imam Iwaraka Dean Muhammad is concerned. And with these ideas, we can kind of stay focused on what it is that we're supposed to do, and if we do that, then we won't get off track. So, brothers and sisters, I have to end the show right now, and I would like to say that, you know, today at 10 o'clock, you know, we're going to do a show called, you know, Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. We're really not, we're going to be talking about, we're going to play something from Imam Fahim Shuaib, and then we have also something from our brother, Jawanza Kunjufu, about male and female relationships. It's going to be real interesting. So tune in at 515-605-9326. That's 212-515-605-9326. And we're going to go out with Graceline Credit Union, Edward Willis.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-7000. 0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.